Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Orthodox Nationalist. I'm actually recording this on a Sunday night, the 21st of July, although it's not going to go out for a few days. And I'm doing it a little bit early because I just finished my paper on Mussolini, and the material is fresh in my mind. I have never been a fan of Mussolini. In fact, I really loathe the man. I don't believe Adolf Hitler was a fascist because he differs so radically from Mussolini. In his writing on the topic, we talked about this in the show on fascism. It's one of these words that people use, but no one really knows what it is. Mussolini's in the news quite a bit because the regime is trying to associate Donald Trump with Mussolini. They don't want to do the Hitler thing anymore because Hitler is so beaten up and too many people know about him. Mussolini is a bit of a mystery, so it's much easier to use him than Hitler, and Hitler's really become such a cliche now. Mussolini was no friend to the Axis and was no friend to Hitler. Understand that Germany and Italy formed an alliance, not because Hitler had any love or respect even for Mussolini. He had neither. It was because there was really no other large state in Europe that was willing to be openly in favor of German plans. Hitler spent over 9 hours begging Francisco Franco, a man he did respect, into joining the Axis, primarily to take Mussolini's place. Mussolini was the buffoon-in-chief of the Axis powers. He was an ignorant man. He was incompetent, especially in foreign affairs. Nationalists tend to romanticize the March on Rome. That's not what I'm talking about here. He's one of these guys, you could actually refer to his policy decisions as psychological manifestations. He cared about one thing, for the world to see him as a powerful conqueror and leader. But his primary audience was Hitler himself. His ignorance of politics and foreign affairs would be comic if it didn't lead to the slaughter of almost 2 million Italians from 1939 to 1945. Mussolini's military incompetence ruined Italy's military reputation even today. He is one of the causes, actually a major cause, of Hitler's loss in World War II. And I've said this many times, that the overthrow of Mussolini in 1943 was a victory for the Axis, not for the Allies. Mussolini and the Hungarians created the NDH in Croatia. An organization that the German high command had a big problem with because their viciousness was so bad that they created chaos in Yugoslavia. Mussolini's role seemed to be just to drag Hitler around the world, bailing him out of one loss and one defeat after another. He humiliated himself in almost every military campaign of his reign. Why did Hitler delay Operation Barbarossa until the summer? Actually, it was because of what we're going to talk about today, the Greco-Italian War of 1940-1941. He helped destroy a lot of the German armor in North Africa. And again, it's comic. When Mussolini ordered the invasion of Egypt just a few months before the Greco-Italian War, nothing happened. He was ignored. So when Sea Lion was launched, Mussolini ordered his army to attack at the same time, making it appear like it was his forces that were winning the victory. Rommel simply abandoned his Italian infantry in Libya. The Italian army was annihilated in North Africa by the much smaller British force in Operation Compass, and almost 200,000 POWs were taken. The Royal Italian Army did not have a single victory in World War II without German assistance. Throughout the war, especially the early years, about 400,000 Axis troops were lost because of Mussolini's stupidity. Had Italy not made believe that it could win in Africa, the 20th century would have looked very, very, very different. Even the Africa Corps existed to rescue Mussolini. And he wasn't rescuing Mussolini, really. He was rescuing the reputation of the Axis. Hitler couldn't really rely on Bulgaria, Romania, or Hungary because they were simply too small. Italy was the only game in town. The fact is that no matter what, Mussolini was one of the few non-military leaders in Europe, and that bothered him. He was always threatened, he was always insecure, and he reacted in very immature ways. And what I want to talk about now, and I have a paper coming out on this topic, these characteristics really came out in the failed invasion of Greece in 1940. Yet again, Germany had to invade the area, the Balkans and Greece, because the Italians were so badly beaten. In fact, they were beaten so poorly, the Italians performed so poorly, were beaten so badly, that the Greeks even took Albania. Even there, even in Greece itself, and Germany had to invade, the Greeks stood up to the Germans very well. Hitler respected Metaxas. In fact, General Metaxas in Greece had studied as an officer in Berlin. And the Greek army was respected by Hitler, and Hitler negotiated with them at the end of the war as equals. And keep in mind that Hitler's contempt for Mussolini was so great that in 1941, when he was negotiating surrender with the Greeks, he made sure that Mussolini didn't know anything about it. Hitler never had any problem with the Greeks. He offered them an honorable surrender. He knew the Italians would never do. Hitler turned on Mussolini, at least on a personal level, because of the Greek debacle. The British landed in Greece, creating an Allied beachhead only because the Italians had invaded the place. It was a disaster for Germany to have the British operating now with a base in this part of the world. I mean, my God, Mussolini was humiliated in Ethiopia. It took him years to defeat an army using medieval weapons. Only Selassie's elite guard had modern military equipment. And they fought him to a standstill, to such an extent that Mussolini authorized the use of poison gas against them. The background isn't very well known. The Greek government, you know, Greece is small. It wanted to build strong relations with Italy. They didn't see Italy necessarily as an enemy. Italy was a big trading partner of the Greeks, but could be a formidable opponent. Remember, Greece had been at war for the last 30 years almost without interruption or more. The Greeks needed breathing space to rebuild. The foreign minister, who was actually a liberal Anglophile politician, Andrius Mikalopoulos, wanted to build relations with non-Yugoslav Balkan powers. Of course, the Liberal Party in Greece was underwritten by the Rothschild family. But beyond that, Greece also was anti-communist, and she required allies to protect her. She was very close to the USSR. Remember, after the war, Stalin tried to take Greece and Turkey, and he failed. Now, Mussolini's agenda was to destroy Yugoslavia at any cost. It was almost a nightmare for him. The only country in the area large enough to challenge Italy was Yugoslavia. So that's why he created and supported the Croat nationalist NDH, along with the Hungarians. This is not a German creation, and Hitler didn't really like them. For no other reason that they were creating. So again, he had no problem with Serbia, he had no problem with Bulgaria, he had no problem with Greece. Hitler never had any problem with these people. But thanks to the Italians, they were lost to the Axis forever. A closer alliance in the 20s, very early 30s, was offered by the Italians, but the Venizelos, again, a very pro-British government, had rejected it. Mussolini even tried to offer them a military alliance, and this was a way to isolate Yugoslavia, not to mention the fact that the Turks were an enemy of the Italians. Mussolini didn't mind the idea of the Greeks as a buffer. As we all know, in the 20s and 30s, Mussolini tried to create some kind of an Italian empire. That the overall goal was to create this alternative Yugoslavia, which would have been Turkey, Greece, Bulgaria, and Hungary. It wouldn't be Yugoslavia because Turkey, Greece, and Hungary are not Slavs, but it was meant to be a parallel to that. The Depression came in 1930, and that meant, like anything like that, the smaller countries became dependent on more powerful ones. The thing is, of course, Rome didn't have the capacity to do any of this. And Mussolini's inflated estimation, not only of himself, but of Italy's military strength, just was the beginning of these disasters. But Venizelos signed the Balkan Pact, which joined Greece, Yugoslavia, Turkey, and Romania, which was meant to protect them from both Bulgarian and Magyar revisionism, because both those countries had lost territory in World War I. That union, if it had ever really come into existence, would have been Italy's worst nightmare. But when Mussolini invaded and almost lost Ethiopia, this forced the Greeks to move to England. Now, the Metaxas government, which was pro-German, was elected and replaced Venizelos. Thank God, because German trade became the mainstay of the economy. The thing about Metaxas is that because the British needed Greece, Metaxas could be pro-German and pro-English at the same time, and he succeeded in doing that. He's not stupid. Actually, he's one of the smarter guys in the war. He kept ties with Great Britain without breaking trade with the Germans. No one trusted Mussolini. Not Hitler, not Metaxas, not the British, not anybody, including Italians. I'm talking about in foreign military policy here. No one saw him as a competent military leader because he wasn't. But he could and did create a tremendous amount of mischief, though. Metaxas became unpopular in London anyway. Metaxas' Greek nationalist government, which I've dealt with on this show in great detail, was a national socialist in Franco's sense of the term, a firm nationalist, but certainly no fascist in the Italian sense of the word. Like Germany, Metaxas wanted to finance his projects internally, not to rely on loans from the Rothschilds like Venizelos had done. But the increasing alienation between London and Athens, and you know, Mussolini was such a simpleton. He didn't see the bigger picture. But because they were growing apart but not splitting, Mussolini got the idea that maybe the British wouldn't support him if he attacked them. Remember, the nations that Italy attacked, British Somalia, Ethiopia, Greece, and North, they had done nothing to Italy. This was a psychological drive for Mussolini. Even had he won in these cases, and won without great cost in Ethiopia, he gained nothing from it. But in 1939, Mussolini declared that Greece was the vital enemy. I put it this way. He initially said that Britain was the vital enemy, was his exact term, of both Italy and Greece. But he also believed that Greece, being connected to Great Britain, he didn't really get the German thing, but being connected to Great Britain, therefore was an enemy of Italy. So right after that, Italy took Albania, which was not really an invasion necessarily, because he promised to create this great Albanian revanchism. He said the same thing to the Croatians and even to the Hungarians. And he did it because these were all states that sought to expand their borders at others' expense, and Mussolini knew how to flatter people into joining him. So it wasn't an invasion necessarily. The thing that everyone knew, and the Greeks began to arm themselves, was that Mussolini was very unpredictable and very unstable. So the Italians pandered to Albanian opinion. But no one trusted Mussolini at all. The Albanian units that were raised to fight alongside the Italians in Greece pretty much deserted right away. Some of the Albanian agents functioned as intelligence gatherers. They did some sabotage, but they were very few in number. But the Italian press, under Il Duce's control, made the claim the Greeks were stooges of London. In August 1516, the Italian chief of staff, which was Pietro Badoglio, was ordered to prepare for an invasion. Now, the British wanted Italy's neutrality, something along the lines of Spanish neutrality. And they went to Mussolini and said, you know, any war here will harm Italy. Of course, they were right, but Mussolini, it wasn't whether he was right or wrong, it was that he just didn't like being told what to do. With British encouragement, de Metaxas sought communication with Rome. So the Greeks went back. De Metaxas was extremely intelligent. He was very opposite of Mussolini. He knew that going back and forth from Berlin to London was something he knew he could do. He was in a position to do this. And it would confuse Mussolini. So Mussolini held off on any kind of an attack, depending on what he thought at the moment. The British didn't like Metaxas' pro-German views, but they could not alienate the Greeks. Not to mention the fact that the Greek military was very experienced and highly respected throughout Europe, unlike Mussolini's forces. This is not an anti-Italian thing. This is an anti-Mussolini thing. And one of the problems with Mussolini is that Italy's reputation has been destroyed militarily after him and still hasn't been recovered. What changed Mussolini permanently was the fall of France. There, all of a sudden, he turned on the Greeks because now he figures it's going to be a short war. The Germans are going to take over everything. The British are going to fall. The Soviets will be isolated. And Italy better gobble up as much as it can. It really doesn't matter what they do, because when Germany masters Europe, it doesn't, you know, he's going to support Italy. Then the Greeks signed a trade pact with the British. At the same time, though, the British sought to cut off all of Greek trade with Germany, which they failed to do. And the Greeks made it very clear, we can't cut off trade from the only healthy economy on the continent. But as far as the British and the Americans were concerned, war was the only way to save their failing system. Because of Mussolini's arrogance and pushing and pushing and pushing the Greeks, even some military provocations, Greece went to the Allies. And this was what pissed Hitler off. Mussolini's diplomacy was shallow. It was shifting. He didn't grasp the big picture here. He didn't realize that in pushing the Greeks as hard as he did, they would go to the Allies. The thing is that he didn't tell Hitler any of this stuff. He didn't like that. He didn't want to be perceived as Hitler's lackey, which he turned out to be after the defeat here. But so he didn't want to tell the Germans anything. When the attack finally began, the Italian foreign minister, Galeazzo Chiano, met Hitler in Bavaria, and he was excoriated by Hitler because the British now were established in Greece. Probably never even occurred to Mussolini that this would be a problem. You see, when Hitler took the oil fields in Romania, he didn't bother to tell Mussolini about it. And that really irritated him because it made it seem like he's not a major power. So when Mussolini invaded Greece, he didn't tell Hitler about it. It was purely a very immature function of his insecurity. Not to mention the fact that once he does this, Hitler now has to divert forces from North Africa. He was in North Africa to bail Mussolini out. Then once he is shellacked in Greece, Hitler now has to remove men from North Africa to bail them out of that. And so the title of this paper is The Mad Little Clown. And that's what Hitler referred to Mussolini as. In the summer of 1940, an Italian submarine sank the Greek cruiser, the Ilia, in Tinos Harbor. Mussolini began to encourage the Navy to attack neutral shipping in that part of the world. A Greek steamship, a civilian ship, was attacked by the Italian Air Force off Crete. But the Greeks were so concerned with avoiding war that they pretended the Italians didn't do it. They said, well, we don't really know who did it, even though it was very obvious who did. They were trying to avoid war at all cost. And yet, Metaxas was a very conservative man, but Greek public opinion was absolutely outraged. But worried about both Hitler's reaction and London's reaction, he postponed an attack on Greece again. When Hitler moves south in Romania, this is when Mussolini is outraged. This was part of his very immature sort of semi-thinking that led to the attack on Greece. Mussolini had this fantasy that he was able to occupy the entire Greek mainland and the islands after the invasion. And his chief of staff, Badoglio, who was, you know, under normal circumstances would be a competent guy, tried to tell him that we, you know, it's way beyond our capacity to do anything like this. A much larger army was necessary to do anything like this, and so he gets his job threatened. Mussolini couldn't connect the fact that the poor state of the Italian economy couldn't even handle a temporary occupation of the country. When Mussolini invades Greece, Italians were put on a rationing system. The Italian economy was not well developed at the time. Now, Albania was excited about the notion that the one thing that the Italian high command was hoping for was that Tsar Boris III of Bulgaria would attack Greece from the northeast. Knowing full well how incompetent Mussolini was, Boris wisely said, no thank you. He knew what was going to happen, and he knew the Turks were threatening him. Because Turkey said to the Bulgarians, we're going to go after you if you go after the Greeks. We're not going to have you expand anymore. And the only thing that Mussolini could really wield was about 150,000 Italian soldiers. That was about all he could really muster. And the Greek army numbered about roughly that, maybe about 120,000 men. But quality was so different. The Greeks were battle-hardened, extremely experienced, have been fighting wars continuously for the last three decades. But other than a handful who had fought in Spain, the Italian army had very little real combat experience. So Alberto Periani became the chief of staff. So many, it's like a Wendy's drive-thru. The way that the high command was shuffled and reshuffled around, hired and fired people. You see, Mussolini is a rare leader where foreign policy decisions are made by fantasy and immaturity, not by any real strategic considerations. Just one example. This is kind of well known. Italy didn't have any reserves to throw at the Greek campaign because he let about 300,000 men go home for the harvest. This is why no one took him seriously. The War Materiel Department had ordered almost 2,000 trucks before the invasion. Fewer than 100 actually showed up. He had no concept of logistics. He didn't know. He overestimated the Albanians. He overestimated himself. And he had this psychology that because they were an enemy of his, they must be very inferior to him. He didn't even consider the idea that he didn't have a chance because of the crazy mountains, the Pindus Mountains, among others, other tributaries, that he would have to go over and do all the fighting on when he invades Greece via Albania. Italy had a large army, but that was only on paper. The most they could ever field was maybe 200,000 guys and only light infantry. They didn't have the mechanization, they didn't have the transport, and even the Navy and the Air Force were small, but they didn't have the upgrades necessary and they didn't have the fuel. Mussolini assumed control of all three military branches. This is a man who knew nothing about army life. He knew nothing about military policy. He kept the bureaucracy small and the number of officers very small, for reasons you could probably figure out. He didn't like these men. They threatened him. They scared him. And he wanted to make all these decisions himself. And observing the Italian debacle, I mean, the Italians defeated the Ethiopians, but barely. The Greeks saw that the Italian infantry was very poorly disciplined, very poorly led, that a feudal empire was able to fight them to a standstill. And it was the Italian Air Force that was first authorized to use the Battle of Machu in 1936, mustard gas on the elite guard of Emperor Selassie in Ethiopia. And the point was not just to break the Ethiopian will to fight, but to destroy the army and the civilian peoples in general. The fact is that Italy could not really be, I mean, they beat them, but only at full mobilization. And the Ethiopians had done nothing to deserve any kind of an invasion. See, all Mussolini cared about was he thought these were easy victories. That he gained colonies and impressed Hitler. I mean, it was a Pyrrhic victory, and it didn't last very long anyway. We all know what happened in North Africa. They were a liability to Rommel. Operation Compass destroyed the Italian infantry in the area. As I mentioned already, about 150,000 prisoners were taken prisoner in roughly 2 months from a much, much smaller British force. The problem also was that even though Hitler and Mussolini were not formally allied, and in Hitler's mind, they never were allied, the world's press kind of dragged them together. And normally what they did, especially after the Mussolini's defeat in Greece, the way that the world's press depicted Mussolini, you know, initially in the 20s and 30s, they treated him with some kind of respect. Now they made fun of him. And he asked for it. I mean, he was a very easy target. The global press, from the Greek debacle on, depicted Mussolini as this bumbling failure, always trying to please Hitler, which unfortunately is true. He was depicted as a court jester in Berlin. I mean, frankly, Mussolini was tailor-made for the propagandist. But understand what motivated this man. His bravado, his arrogance. In my opinion, it came down to his intensely held insecurity. And the key to this came from the fact that, as I mentioned, he was surrounded by war heroes and generals and combat veterans everywhere. Francisco Franco, of course, being an important one. Metaxas, who was a general, educated in Berlin. Tito, even in Yugoslavia. Mannerheim in Finland. General Antonescu in Romania. Boris III was a military man. Even in China, Chang, Japan, Tojo, Sikorsky in Poland, Admiral Horthy in Hungary, not to mention his own generals, attacking a place like Greece or Ethiopia, especially Greece, there was a psychological side of this, was to defeat a German-trained military man. And of course, Mussolini was a army deserter. He deserted his post in the Italian army in World War I, and because amnesty was declared, he was set free. He knew zero about military life. He made up the story that he was fighting in World War I and he was hit by a grenade. Now, the real story is that he was observing the demonstration of a new mortar weapon, and it went off by accident, and he was hit by shrapnel. But he was never in combat. He never saw it. He didn't understand it. And he sent thousands of Italian soldiers to their deaths to satisfy his personal insecurity and childishness. He deserved what he got from the Allies. And one person who mocked him even more than the Allies did was Hitler. He didn't like him. He didn't respect him. Neither did anybody else, especially Italians. Italian military, especially in World War II. So the attack comes. October 28th, 1940, from his forces stationed in Albania. Mussolini, he even didn't grasp the idea that the Greeks had been waiting for him. They had heavily dug in to some of the most difficult mountain ranges to try to negotiate on a battlefield that anyone could ever face. Actually, the Greeks were prepared for an invasion of Italy and Bulgaria at the same time. So they were doubly prepared, but the Bulgarians knew that it would be a very bad idea. That never happened. That meant that the Greeks concentrate all of their forces on Italy, because Mussolini was told that, well, even if the Bulgarians don't do anything, he still has to do like kind of what Saddam Hussein did in the first Gulf War, split his army in half, put one half the forces on the border with Turkey and fight the Americans the other half. No, the Greeks knew better. The Turks were watching the Bulgarians. Boris III said he ain't doing anything. No one's backing Mussolini in anything. Even Hitler. Hitler knows nothing about this, by the way. Zero. But Mussolini was facing the entire battle-hardened Greek army. Now, Metaxas relied heavily on the British. And this is what really pissed Hitler off about. When he found out about the invasion, Hitler said, you know, you made an enemy out of a friend. At the start of the invasion, Metaxas says to the people of Greece, he says, Greece is not fighting for victory, but for honor. A nation must be able to fight if it wants to remain great, even with no hope for victory. It fights because it has to. But pretty soon, Metaxas' kind of guarded pessimism becomes overt optimism. The Greeks saw Mussolini as a bumbler. Not the Italians, of course, but Mussolini. As this is going on, Hitler's in Spain, and he's trying to talk Franco into replacing Mussolini in the Axis. That was the whole point. That's why he was so obsessed with this. 9 hours. Franco very calmly tried to explain that we had just been through a civil war. We don't have the strength for this. Now, Franco did support the Germans in Soviet Union, but Franco did refuse. He boards the train to leave Spain, and someone says, oh my God, Mussolini just invaded Greece. And Hitler's response was exactly this. This is madness, he says. If you wanted to pick a fight with poor little Greece, why didn't he attack Malta or Crete? That would make some sense anyway. But now, he's at war with Britain in the Mediterranean. Hitler was absolutely furious. And of course, everyone knew that he was going to lose. So Hitler shows up in Italy, and of course, Mussolini runs to the train and says, we're on the march. Victorious Italian troops have crossed the Greco-Albanian border at dawn. And Hitler said later that this is why he delayed the attack on the USSR. He knew he wasn't going to win this. Mussolini had now single-handedly destabilized Germany's entire southern flank and told no one about it. You see, even though no one took him seriously, they knew that he could cause a great amount of mischief. The only Italian force that did well was the Siena Division did okay, but the Giulia Alpine Division did okay too. But from the end of October to the end of November, it was enough for all of these divisions to be wiped out. See, Mussolini didn't even understand simple things, that the Greek mountain cavalry riding these very small, fast horses, they're accustomed to these mountain ranges. They were using Blitzkrieg. The Italians couldn't do. They didn't have the mechanism for that. They didn't know how to fight in the mountains. On the 4th of November, the Albanian Tomor Battalion was almost... The Italians had to intervene. They'd all be slaughtered. About 100 guys survived that. The snow fell very, very heavily, very quickly up in the mountains. The Italians only had one advantage, and that was their tanks. No one told Mussolini that tanks are pretty useless in the mountains. Now, in the first couple of weeks of, or actually the first week of November, the Greeks pull out their forces with the Kalpaki line, beyond that river to draw the Italians in, knowing full well that they take the bait. They draw them in deeper. November 6th, the Italians are unsuccessful in their attacks on Rabaul and elsewhere. And by the 8th of November, just 2 weeks before this massive invasion, they're already in retreat. Because of the men Mussolini sent home, manpower was already critical. The roads were in a bad state. The storms were very bad. They couldn't have had a worse weather situation. And even minor victories were hollow and were quickly reversed. November 5th, the Italians crossed the river and broke through Greek defenses. They had a few minor victories. Margheriti, and some of the coastal areas, but that was as far as they were going to go. The 8th of November, General Prosky, Visconti Prosky, was removed yet again. And the Greeks were well aware that there was no stability in this chain of command, and the troops knew that as well. Because the Greeks knew this, they went on a counterattack. They retook all the regions around the Kalamas River, and everything that even the Giulia division had taken were all completely reversed. We're talking here just a few weeks. I mean, this is humiliation. Well, the Giulia division also was allowed to move forward and become isolated. Mussolini didn't have any real logistic abilities. Supplies were nowhere to be found, and this division was wiped out. The best of the Italian infantry was already gone. So, by the 14th of November, this is only a few weeks now, the Greeks began a full-scale offensive. Prosky had been relieved of duty, and he was replaced by a guy named Ubaldo Sodu. He was a general, but he didn't act like one. His hobby was to create musical scores for movies that didn't exist. That was his thing. So Sodu said that on the 19th of November, he began a massive, very, very weak retreat. All small amount of territory that he had won was given back. Mussolini fired everybody around him. He just went into it, as you would expect. You can't keep track of Italian commanders here. They go, I use a Wendy's drive-through metaphor. The Wendy's drive-through window is probably more stable than the Italian high command, thanks to Mussolini. The Greek Navy is destroying Italian shipping, especially using their submarines. But 23 tons is destroyed in this period of time. But the Greeks had too few subs to really make a difference. But the British were there. This is what drove Hitler crazy. It wasn't the Greeks. The Greeks were never the problem. Hitler liked the Greeks. He respected the Greeks. But now, because Mussolini forced the Greeks to join the Allies, now the British and the Australians and the New Zealanders all had divisions in the southern part of the country. This is all Hitler needed, right? Well, thanks to British help, the Greek Navy destroyed pretty much everything that they of any value in the Italian Navy at the Battle of Taranto, November 12th. And they used all kinds of ruses, like, you know, inflatable ships and stuff like that. And they fell for every trick in the book. I mean, even the air campaign was a disaster. These pilots were not properly briefed. They killed their own men. Some of the men were already defeated. They were waiting to be shipped out of Salonika, and the Italian Air Force wiped them out. At the same time, Greek guns, while they were few in number, were extremely accurate and manned by very competent crews. But when the campaign began, General Prosecutor told the world, the Greeks have put up little resistance. They've run away. They even have left their dinner tables when hot food was on them. That's what he told everybody. That's what he told Mussolini. These were lies that he told the press, but everyone, of course, knew better. The tragedy was very, very bad. Roy Morris writes in the article, Benito Mussolini and the Fall of Greco-Italian War, he writes this: making matters worse, the notoriously fickle Balkan weather changed again. Rain turned to sleet and then snow. Temperatures plunged to several degrees below zero. A biting north wind made it even worse. Thousands of troops on both sides, ill-prepared for the brutal weather, suffered severe frostbite. Weapons froze up. Uniforms became stiff. At night, groups of shivering men dug deep holes and slept together, piled like cordwood up under the blankets. During the day, Italians were taking their pack mules and stuffing their helmets in the dead animals, steaming brains, just like in Star Wars, sometimes urinating on themselves, especially on their hands, unstiffen them. He says this too. General Papagos, which is on the Greek side, fearing a trap, hesitated to order an all-out pursuit of the failed Italian invasion. I should mention that the Greeks were well aware of all of Italy's plans because an officer had been captured that had everything on him, had all the plans on him. They knew exactly what was going on. Anyway, Morris says, General Papagos had seen a copy of the confidential supply report forwarded to Mussolini's new chief of staff, Ugo Cavallero. Papagos might have been more assured in it. Cavallero was informed that the army in Albania was virtually naked. Reserve rations, nil. Equipment, minimal. Woolen clothing, zero. Infantry ammunition, none. Artillery ammunition, insignificant. Arms and artillery, all supplies exhausted. Engineering equipment, practically nil. Medical equipment, inadequate. When the first Italian prisoners were led to Athens, Greek citizens didn't know whether to laugh or cry. I feel sorry for them, an old woman said. They're not warriors. They should carry mandolins instead of rifles. At Menton, on the French-Italian border, the border guards put up a sign that said, "This is French territory. Greeks, don't pursue Italians past this point." That's the mockery that Mussolini was subject to, and rightfully so, as thousands of Italian soldiers were sent to their deaths. But how did Mussolini react to this? Here's what he said. Here's what this moron said. He said, "This snow and cold, it's very, very good. In this way, our good-for-nothing men and this mediocre race will be improved." Then he said, "The human material I have to work with is useless, worthless." He called his own men this. He wouldn't take responsibility for anything. He actually would call his own men inferior. This is the man, by the way, who deserted his own army during World War I. Within a month, the Greeks counterattacked and took most of Albania. So now, the French putting up that sign, it wasn't that crazy. They were running away in a panic. Not because they're cowards, but because their commander-in-chief was Mussolini. Now, the British couldn't have been happier, and they're building up the Greek forces. And Hitler must have just been rolling his eyes and sighing, oh my God, what do I have to do now? And Mussolini, with his whole reputation at stake, threw everything he had, including his entire air force. So that spring of 1941, he tried his second invasion of Greece, March 9th, 1941, and it was even worse. Again, the Greeks knew exactly what he was going to do. All the plans were taken. It was so incompetent that copies of the plans were everywhere. But the Greeks knew exactly what they were going to do. The Italians laid 100,000 shells in an area in Greece only 4 square miles in size, and it had no effect. The Greeks knew exactly what they were going to do, so they moved everyone out of the area. They just made a big hole. So Mussolini, when this second attack began, which even was more disastrous than the first, he climbed up this hill, this 2,500-foot hillside at dawn, to watch it start. 50,000 of his men massed in the Nisa Valley as this big artillery barrage began that did nothing. Still, at this point, no one knew. The Greeks knew everything the Italians were going to do. Mussolini would march back and forth with his baton like he was a military guy. And he's actually watching his men killed and coming back a wreck. March 16th, it was over. He called off all attacks. His men were exhausted. The economy was near collapse. He had no fuel. And the army was on the verge of revolt. Mussolini leaves Albania and he tells his aide in public. He says, I'm disgusted by this environment. We haven't advanced one step. They've been deceiving me to this very day. I have a profound contempt for all these people, he said. What was he talking about? Who are these people? Well, he meant Albanians. Of course, everyone thinks that about Albanians. But he's really referring to his own people, his own high command, his own officers. Finally, he was starting to figure out that these guys were just telling him what he wanted to hear. Two invasions, a huge number of casualties. The funny thing is, by the end of March 1941, the Greek army had almost no supplies. It's true the Greeks were rushing supplies to them. The British were rushing supplies to them. But it didn't matter. They won anyway. They could have had rocks in their hands that would have defeated them. The Greek population was patriotic. They were harassing the Italians at every step of the way, cutting all line. You know, these guys were better soldiers than the Italians were anyway, even civilians, and they could get nothing done. So from the Greek point of view, Italy had at that time a good fighting reputation, not Mussolini, but Italy in general. They had a formerly impressive reputation, had a very large size, this is all of Italy now, but were led so incompetently that it made the Greeks look like the Finns would look like in 1940. This great, victorious people. They earned the respect of both the Allies and the Axis. Remember something else. Mussolini's popularity went to nothing. Whatever gains Mussolini created in his social republic were gone, because everything was going into this war effort that went nowhere. By the 17th of March 1941, it was over. Even Albania was gone. In a few weeks, the Italians suffered 12,000 dead, the Greeks 1,200. The Italians were humiliated, and yet again, not just in a retreat, but a panicked retreat. So Hitler said, well, I guess I got to invade the area again. So he goes to the Bulgarians, you got to join me in invading this place. He didn't want to, but he had to. The British, the Australians, New Zealand, they all had armies there under General Wilson. They landed at Thessaloniki. And some of the best German troops were sent. It took a while because the Greeks were so heavily dug in. There were fewer nasty mountains in the eastern part of the country. The Pindus Mountains in the west were a disaster for the Italians. But the Greeks had these reinforced concrete bunkers that were very hard to break. But Hitler showed the Greeks great respect. Most POWs were let go. The Germans showed them nothing but respect. And the Wehrmacht really was following the international rules of war. And of course they won. But Hitler didn't even want to do it. The Greek army was finally separated, The Waffen-SS and a few of the fast-moving panzer divisions finally split them in two. The Greeks began retreat through the mountains. Unfortunately, now Hitler had to fight the British long before he wanted to. And superior German air units and the panzers finally defeated the British Expeditionary Force. Thessaly was fully taken. Attica was now under threat. The British and the Greeks fled the region. They went down further south. And the Greeks were willing to retreat, were willing to surrender, but only to the Germans. Because there was a mutual respect there. And as Hitler's negotiating with the Greeks, Texas was an ally. He was doing this just because of what Mussolini did. He didn't even want to do it. So that's how ridiculous Mussolini's policy was. And Hitler said, my negotiations with you, do not tell Mussolini anything. I don't want him to know nothing. Because he's going to throw a fit, and which, by the way, he did. Don't tell Mussolini a damn thing of what I'm doing here. Because he doesn't know anything. Let me handle this. And so he engaged in what was a mutually respectful and honorable military surrender from the Greeks. And really, at this point, Hitler just wished Mussolini would go away. And Hitler's respect for Mussolini was zero at this point. And it was kind of another Dunkirk because the evacuation ports were in Athens. And the panzers had held off just long enough for the British and most of the Greeks to get out. They pushed the British and the Greeks to the Peloponnese ports, rather. And then, of course, they finally met in Crete. That was their final stand. And you know what? It was a disaster for the Germans. And I don't want to get into this too much. I forget who it was. Someone on YouTube who knows about this stuff had mentioned that the German parachutes, they used paratroopers one of the few times they did to get to Crete. And it was a disaster. Because for all the great technological abilities of the Germans, they had very primitive parachutes. They couldn't steer them like everyone else was doing at this point. So they were landing any old place, in trees and in the water. And a huge number of very good German paratroopers were killed this way. Because the parachutes were very poorly constructed, they couldn't carry much weight, so their heavy equipment had to come down in a separate parachute that ended up going wherever. Like these big metal capsules. You couldn't steer these things. So if the wind pushed somewhere, they were pushed somewhere. They came down at a very rough angle, at a very high rate of speed. These guys, you know, so their supplies would land in a tree somewhere. And, you know, it's surprising that for all the great technology of the Third Reich, they didn't bother to get to the parachutes yet. And so Hitler lost a huge number of men here at the height of the Third Reich. German casualties were very high in a war Hitler didn't even want. Guys like Mussolini, because of the March on Rome, nice. But when you do things like this, I mean, he destroyed all of Hitler's long-term plans. And as Mussolini is getting beaten and humiliated, not just beaten, you know, it's like me going into the ring with Mike Tyson and beating the crap out of him. Yeah, he's gonna eventually knock me out. But if I knock out all his teeth in the process, I actually won this. That's what it was like here. And the more he lost, kind of like Americans, you know, the more the American military loses all over the world, the more medals they pin on themselves. And as Mussolini got, from this point to 1943, his uniforms got more ridiculous and ornate and gaudy with medals. He didn't even know what they were. He would stick them on places. He didn't know anything about precedence or anything else. He just stuck things on himself. And social policies did pretty well in the 20s and 30s. But now, the lost wars, the destruction of the army, meant that the economy was now gone. This is why they ripped his corpse apart in 1945. In this case, morale counted more than technology. The Italians were handed a brutal defeat because the Greeks were ethnically unified. They had a strong sense of mission, and they had done nothing wrong. Their men were battle-hardened, they were used to warfare, and their leader was, of course, Metaxas, who himself was a general trained in Germany. Mussolini was now very unpopular at home. His troops were openly expressing contempt for him. He was not an army man. Now, Italy was no longer really a significant part of any of Hitler's plans. He was not really, he was an Axis member, but he was less valuable than Hungary was. Mussolini wanted to be this feared, competent conqueror. And I've never come across a man who failed so miserably at a mission like this than Mussolini did. He helped destroy the Axis. He humiliated the Axis. The Greek campaign alone was engaged in out of arrogance and bravado and stupidity for all the wrong reasons. And he couldn't even win it. And the worst part of it all, was when Hitler reluctantly had to invade the country, Mussolini's troops marched in as if they had won. And Mussolini's marching around like an idiot, claiming that he has defeated all these people. The invasion was mostly between the Germans and British when they invaded Greece. But the British wouldn't be there at all had Mussolini not invaded the country. Metaxas would have been an ally of the Germans had Mussolini not invaded the country. He's an idiot. And not telling Hitler is just, it shows you he was like a seven-year-old. I shouldn't say that, because seven-year-olds are usually far more wise and forgiving and pleasant than the Mussolinis of the world. He was a narcissist that had nothing to be narcissistic about. What was the reason that Hitler rescued him in 1943? It wasn't because he gave a damn about him. He didn't. It wasn't because he was rescuing an ally. He didn't consider him to be an ally. He was a liability. It was because if Mussolini was captured by the Allies, he would have told them everything. The Allies knew if they captured Mussolini, they would have given him some really pompous title. I don't know, the Duke of the Bermuda or something like that. Just some stupid pomp. They gave him a uniform and an office and flattered him, and he would have said any damn thing to them. That's what Mussolini was. That's what the Allies would have done had they taken him. They would have hung him anyway. But in this period of time, he was so easy to manipulate. His ego had been so bruised. If he was captured and the Allies made a deal like that, he would give every secret to the Allies that he would. This is why Hitler went in there. And the only other time, by the way, paratroopers were ever used by Hitler, because the Crete disaster turned Hitler against, no, don't fix the parachutes though, but eliminate that. I think in 43, the parachute technology got a little better, caught up with everybody else. Not to mention the fact that Germany had lost the war by 1943. His high command was already offering surrender terms. But it shows the world that the Axis was still quite viable. And we can laugh at Mussolini's stupidity. We could laugh at his stupid uniforms and marching around him. Not even an army man. Except one thing. That about 1.5 million Italians died between 1940 and 1945 because of this moron. Militarily, between 500,000 and 750,000 Italian soldiers were killed. 200,000 alone were lost in Sicily. Germany lost 150,000 men in Italy and a huge number of men in Greece a bit before. This is why Mussolini is no friend. He was no friend of Hitler. He was no friend of the Axis. And that when Italy fell in 1943, finally, Hitler, although it was too late in the game, but finally Hitler can make plans without having to worry that Mussolini's going to invade someplace and then Hitler has to throw his plans out the window to rescue him. I'll say this again. If Italy didn't go into North Africa, if Italy was content with Italy, if Mussolini didn't have this arrogance, this stupidity, this fantasy mentality that honestly believed that he was a military man and a military strategist, there would have been no Africa Corps. There would have been, I mean, Greece would have been on the Axis side, as would have Yugoslavia. The NDH and the whole thing with the Croats and the Serbs would not have occurred. The whole point there was to crush Yugoslavia internally so that Italy could then take the Balkans, or at least create this fantasy Balkan pact that was really mostly in a military Balkan, not the real one that Venizelos had signed, which was an economic matter. This alternative Yugoslavia that Mussolini wanted to create. That's what this comes from. And millions died for a fantasy that Mussolini didn't even fully understand. He didn't understand the implications of what he did. He didn't understand that in attacking Greece, it meant that this very impressive army now was lost to Hitler forever. He didn't realize that Hitler now would have to stabilize the area. He didn't realize that that would mean that huge numbers of very good German men, not to mention very good Italian men, were going to be killed. And Hitler's mocking, hateful words towards both Mussolini and his son-in-law, who was his foreign minister, show you what Hitler really thought of this little guy. And you really feel sorry for the man. And you feel sorry for the Italians who went to their deaths to satisfy this narcissist's ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous fantasy of what Italy was supposed to be in the world. You know, when he attacked Ethiopia, 1935, he had really the 400,000 soldiers in there, but it also included local auxiliaries. And the funny thing that he did against this medieval empire is that he hired and sent 200 journalists to follow the army into battle to record his glorious victory over Ethiopia. The truth is that Ethiopia impressed the Europeans. They earned the respect of, including Hitler, their tenacity and bravery. Really, the force that the Ethiopians could muster had about 200,000 men. The Italians had the Eritrean soldiers as allies. A whole bunch of these tribes didn't like the empire. And the only reason that the Italians won was because of his Eritrean auxiliaries, who knew the language and knew the place. The Dembogina Pass was the first humiliating loss for Italy against the Ethiopians. Because as the Ethiopians hit the Italian invaders, the thing was so poorly organized that there were other Italian forces that were blocking their own retreat. The tanks were so badly managed that Ethiopian infantry could put a boulder in the road and then just jump the tank and kill the crew. Local people were cutting the supply lines. Local people were shooting reinforcement. And once the armor was, I mean, they did destroy a lot of the Italian armor. Once they lost that cover, reinforcements were picked off one by one. And if it wasn't for the Eritreans, even some of the Somali revolutionaries fighting alongside the Italians, and his use of mustard gas, which was a desperate measure, Italy would have lost there too. I'll say it again here. Mussolini was surrounded by military men and generals and war heroes and admirals and everything else. This laundry list of people. He was the only one who wasn't one of them. And he, as a deserter, which of course you would never talk about, he still tried to make believe that he was a military man. This insecurity, this desire to believe that he was Hitler's equal while still constantly trying to please him, to convince himself and his men that he was a military man. And the failures were so bad, were so outrageous, were so, and then the world press, how they went wild making fun of this guy. And even when Germany invaded, yet again, trying to bail him out of trouble, which he didn't want to do, he lost far more men than he should have. Every one of whom died for nothing. They died for Mussolini's arrogance. The reason that Hitler spent 9 hours in Madrid begging Franco to enter the war on his side was to replace Mussolini, to get him out of there. And I'll say this again, and I'll say it again, and I'll say it again. When Mussolini was overthrown in 1943, that was a victory for the Axis, not for the Allies. The Greek campaign, like the Winter War in Finland, although the Finns eventually lost, the first invasion, the second Italian invasion were both victories. The Greek campaign is one of the most tremendous examples of nationalist heroism and should be very much respected. The fact that the Greeks went to the Allies is a matter of self-defense. Metaxas was pro-German. Any other pro-Ally thing that happened is Mussolini's fault, not the Greeks. The Greeks were merely defending themselves. Mussolini was a sick joke on the Axis. He is one of the reasons that they lost. Hundreds of thousands of good German men were ground up in Greece and elsewhere because of Mussolini's stupidity. And Rommel just gave the worst insult to Mussolini when he just abandoned his Italian infantry in Libya and Egypt. Mussolini is not your friend. He's not a friend of nationalism. He didn't believe in nationalism. He believed the state and the state alone mattered, not the nation. He made a very distinct, listen to my lecture on fascism to understand. Hitler was no fascist. Neither was Franco. If you use Mussolini's definition, the nation, he said, is artificial. The state is all that is. The state, meaning the coercive entities of government, are what makes a nation. It is simply not true. The nation goes back into prehistory. The state is a modern invention. It didn't matter anyway because Mussolini didn't know how to use it. And all his talk about war being this good thing that purifies the people, again, a man who abandoned his own men, who deserted the army, and who maybe was in the army for a couple of months at the most. This is a man who's going to tell you to go to your death. And that's exactly what he did. There's a reason that the Italians turned on him. There's a reason that they mangled his body and mocked him in 1945. And when he was first overthrown in 43, there's a reason for that. And the people doing that were some of his supporters. These commanders that I mentioned to you early on, they were used by the Allies to run Italy after Mussolini's removal, showing you that they hated Mussolini from the beginning because they watched their men go to their deaths because of this jerk, because of this pompous jerk. The man was sleazy, and he helped destroy the Axis. Enough with the Mussolini worship. He was no friend of Germany. He was a fake empire builder who lost every damn thing he did. He was a joke, a sick joke, and he should be treated as such. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Orthodox Nationalists with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson at RadioAryan.com.